How we doing, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Ron Swanson, and we are back on the Sean Atwood channel with Avner, former guest of 60 Days In. I'm sure many of you remember him. I'm sure many of you remember Avner looking like this on the show. a little more jagged edge. There's another one there. Yeah. Bosh.
I dropped the Ray-Bans now. Now I got Tom Ford.
Right, exactly, brother. So I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna talk about our main topic, Epstein, the files, and of course your views and all. And then towards the end, like I say, we're gonna nerd out a little bit over 60 days in.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
It's gotta be done. But listen, Abner, for people who, you know, freaking haven't got a cable subscription or have been living under a rock, who are you? Introduce yourself to everyone, and of course, thank you so much for being here, bro.
I appreciate you, Ron, and thank you for having me on your network and channel. I'm Abner from 60 Days In, Season 5. I'm the first ex-convicted felon. And short narrative, I got 30 arrests, 3 felonies. I've been 15 years out of prison. April 26th will be my 15 years. I live in Texas now. I have a Texas pardon from the governor. And life has been different. I'm still a man of God. And I did 60 days in, and I'm known for the guy smacking Ikaika and putting some sense into him.
Right. It was a spicy season, man. It was a spicy season. And yeah, we'll get into all of that. And all right. Like I said, just thank you so much for being here. And listen, what would you say with regards to the files and everything that's going on? Like, just take us through your impressions from when they first dropped. In fact, take us back to when they first came on your radar, if you want, Abner. And just take us on your journey through it all, brother, because I'm very interested to hear what you've got to say, especially from both sides of the law, the lives that you've lived, the turnaround you've done, and everything like that. So just take your time and let it roll.
All right. So I lived 10 years in Orange County, Newburgh, right, which is around 30 minutes, 45 minutes, roughly, from Bear Cliff Manor, which is where the Trump golf course is, right? And a lot of people might be like, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, I'll tell you. I've visited the club a long time ago where four people were unalive, right?
Yeah.
And you might say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, Epstein's cellmate is in prison for unaliving four people, Hispanics, which by coincidence, one of the family members of the victim used to go to my church in Orange County, New York. And I actually even visited the club where the incident supposedly took place, the crime. And, you know, the guy buried the four people behind his house in Otisville, New York, which I was locked up in Otisville, New York also. Now, he's an ex-cop from Bear Cliff Manor, which Trump, you know, I'm just going to say the orange man knows this mm-hmm. guy. And I have had done federal time in MDC Manhattan and MDC Brooklyn. This one where it happened was MDC Manhattan, and I was one floor away from there. And when it all came about where he committed suicide, absolutely he did not commit suicide. Like, I know what suicide watch is. I know what a person that has a crime of pedophilia, how they treat them. Mm-hmm. Like, they watch them. Like, there's no...
Yeah. Take us, like, literally give us a breakdown of the difference between, for example, someone like yourself, somebody who's doing, like, a non-sexual, non-child-related crime. Like, just explain it, because it seems a bit mad to me, Abner, that the most high-profile prisoner, right, is in the one part of the prison that has broken cameras. I'll be honest with you, on another level, Abner, if I was a prison guard and I was in a prison and they were like, oh, by the way, half the cameras are broken, I'm calling someone, Abner. I'm calling an inspector, or I'm leaving an anonymous tip for someone to be like, bro, Like, yeah, the cameras aren't working here. Like, take us through that, what your experience is with the excuses that we've been given.
And it's crazy that you say that, because the Congress is subpoenaing, is going to put a subpoena on the guard that just received money and funds. And
right.
This was today, and it was Googling that night how Epstein died, et cetera, that week. And is now retired and was Googling and shopping $20,000-$30,000 online, right? Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you how that prison, that jail, or any federal prison, right? When you're in the two guards that were transferred there, right? The two guards, they were transferred from Bear Cliff, Manor County, where the golf course is, let's just say, were transferred there that night. And the night before that happened to Epstein, his cellmate was moved, right? At seven in the morning when this happened. There's no possible way. When a person is in general population, they don't really watch you. But when you're on a SHU, which is special housing unit, and not everybody's in there for a sex crime, but everybody is on surveillance 24/7. Cameras everywhere, right? So even if you say jokingly that you're going to commit suicide, they're taking your clothes off. They're putting you in a paper suit. Like, it's beyond ridiculous. There's cameras everywhere. You can't even throw a punch without the cameras knowing you threw a punch. Like, so in my mind, me being in that building, it's like, what? I couldn't even use the toilet in peace. Like, it's crazy. Like, they walk by, they watch you, they go on your cell, put the flashlight every day. And for me to imagine, you know, having extra clothes, you know, they watch them. You can actually get found guilty of a hate crime for touching a person like Epstein in the feds. They'll charge you. Like, you can't even touch them. And for me to be the most prolific person.
Bro, a prisoner in the modern history, right? The only other prisoner I could imagine was what the hell was his name? The dude that they buried out at sea, Bin Laden, right? That's about the only other major prisoner. Right? Bin Laden and Epstein, those are the two big prisoners. One unalived in prison, the other one buried at sea. Nothing suspicious at all there, Abner, bro.
Absolutely. And the one thing that makes it even more suspicious is, right, that a person of this value, right, because now we're going to a war to hide the files. Absolutely. If you don't believe that, you're a moron.
We could have many a beers and conversations, bro. I'm telling you, because I believe it was more like, let's invade Greenland, let's invade Venezuela, let's get the aliens out, right? And none of us went, but what about the PDF files? What about those guys? It's wartime. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like you step on poop, and I'm telling you, no, it's a Hershey's candy bar. Don't worry about
exactly.
it.
No, it's Nutella, not baby. It's Nutella, you know what I'm saying? But do you know what I feel? Like, they're weaponizing their own incompetence against us. Like, they're pretending to be this stupid, so we lose faith in their ability to do what we've asked them, or we expect them to fail so we don't push for results.
Right, right. And I mean...
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I think everybody, even if you're guilty or not guilty, you have the right in the United States to do your time. If you're found guilty, to come home or to get found innocent, right? You have a trial, you know, right? And them doing that and that happening is too much. No videotape, no camera. This is the federal government. No camera, right? And I've had tickets, write-ups for fighting in the federal system. And the first thing they bring up is the camera, the angles.
Bro, right. I've literally got footage of you fighting in a federal system, right? Like from not maybe not a federal system. I literally have footage of you fighting, bro. It was all over the freaking the world. We all seen it, right?
Yeah. So yeah. It was, I mean, it's crazy. It's beyond insanity. The phone records. No phone records, no camera, no footage, no correction officer. And I remember I used to get paid 25 cents an hour to watch somebody that's on suicide watch, on a live, that one on a live.
Yeah, you're good.
So I would sit in the chair and they pay you 25 cents and you're an inmate and you're watching them and you're talking to them. Hey, don't do it, buddy. Hey, you know, calm down, you know. So for me to imagine being in that building a floor down, it's like, nah.
Okay. So, from your experience, obviously pretty good experience, right? We're talking about heavily camera covered cells, right? Heavily active patrols for making sure the person's okay, looking in. Guards who I imagine are also in view of the cell and keeping an eye on things. And how can we believe that all of that fell apart? Like, how is it even possible, Abner? Like, what can you imagine a day in the prison system where a perfect storm of that happens? Like, does the guy who does the round, did he slip and bump his head? Like, did Moireen in the staff room plug in her phone charger and knock all the cameras out that day? Because circumstance matters in this, because if the cameras have been out for weeks, it could be a broader telling story across all of the prison systems. But you wouldn't shove your most prized possession prisoner in the most insecure part of a prison. I mean, I'm assuming.
And you wouldn't put his cellmate that has four unaliving.
Yeah, that's
in his cell.
Why would you give him a cellmate at all? Like, it doesn't seem like, why would you give him a cellmate? Like, it doesn't seem like normal to me to
the
just
worst. Take it. He was an ex-cop from Bear Cliff Manor, which is where the golf course is. So obviously they knew each other or something. Somebody got comfortable, because if I'm a person with a SA crime like that, the last thing I'm going to do is tell the CEO, hey, put that guy that has four bodies in my cell, right? Next to the bubble, mind me, his cell was the first one next to the bubble, which is where the guard is. Like, you can't hear a noise, you can't hear gagging, you can't hear, you know, and then me being in those cells, I'm trying to imagine myself unaliving myself in there. I'm like, I can't. And I'm 5'10". It's like,
well, that's the thing. Like, you know, when you were a little kid and you'd stick your head under the swimming pool and try and hold your breath for as long as you could, right? And then eventually your body just whips your head out of the water. Like, your brain wants you to be alive. Like, you might try and unalive yourself, but your brain does a good job of trying to help you. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And Abner, keep in mind as well, this wasn't his first time getting charged with stuff like this. He was a previously convicted. Now, we're going to get on to this, right? We're going to talk about mandatory sentences in a little while, but we're we'll wait for when we bring this up. Just where we're back to the cameras and everything. What, other than what you've just said, what else sticks out for you in your mind with regards to Epstein, how the whole story and how it plays out, and what other points stick out for the day that he unalived himself?
What sticks out to me is his ex cellmate that moves out the day before. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The day before.
I'm still here, by the way, just so you know.
His cell is next. His cell is next to the bubble where the guard is, right? Yep. The phone calls, you know, the character, like, it doesn't fit with his agenda. Because if you got all that money and that power, see, if you're poor and you've been through life, you have nothing to live for. But when you have all that caviar money, you really have a lot to live for, and especially when you've been beating the system over and over for years, and you know everybody of everybody. And especially your buddy is, you know, but to just imagine having, and I looked at the pictures of the supposedly all that clothing. We still only have 3 t-shirts, 3 pants, 3 orange pants, our sandals or our skip shoes from prison in the MDC Manhattan. And it's like, this guy had a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up that picture because that's a really interesting point. Because that's a lot of stuff, bro. Yeah. Like, in fact, you could almost say that's an obviously dangerous amount of stuff.
I had 1 pair of slides in there.
Right.
3 yeah, this, pants this, and 3 t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, Harry, listen, no one would have seen them taking extra blankets because there's no cameras, Abner, right? They could have just had a smorgasbord or freaking blankets, but it does seem a little bit like, you know,
yeah, like
fire to a pile of this, you know?
Where's the cell searches? Because they do rounds or like in every corner there's a clock. So they go with the clock, click, click, they have to do their rounds. So when you do your rounds, you're looking in the cell. And to see this amount of stuff in there, you would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to search that cell. And especially when he was supposed to be on suicide watch.
Yeah.
What is he doing with all that stuff and not in a paper suit? Like, it's almost like they wanted to make it seem like, hey, this is really what happened. You know?
Yeah.
And it does it with the cameras, the people, the inmates.
Right. Well, let's talk about the cameras for a minute. Let's talk about Cash Patel for a minute, right? Have you ever seen a crazier individual in charge of a government operation, first of all? And, you know, the world changed for me the day that Cash Patel went on Joe Rogan. He went, because never before has the head of anything gone on a freaking podcast, bro. You might see the ex-CIA this or ex-Navy SEAL that or whatever, but the head of the FBI hopping on the Joe Rogan show in an Under Armour top, talking about how there's no conspiracy. He unalived himself. That, to me, was the first clear sign of major, major political people using the non-mainstream, the new media, to recondition the way they used to do with the old media, with the people absolutely that are watching. Absolutely. And then we've got Pam Bondi. But yeah, comment on that, brother.
Well, I lived in Austin for a couple of years, which is where Joe Rogan's podcast is. And I went to his building a couple times for a couple comedy shows and stuff like that. And it just baffles me. It baffles me that you will put, like, no gang member is going to put a coward as the leader of the gang.
Right.
Right? So you're not going to put a cross-sided moron to lead an army of intelligence. Like, but it's almost like it's all strategic. Like, this is what we're gonna do.
No one summed it up so poetically as you, right, when you said you don't put a flipping cross-eyed moron in front of in charge of intelligence. Well, it was last week I was having a conversation with someone, and it was them that made me realize that they're forcing us to see all the human errors in their decisions, the terrible decisions, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, this war. I think Trump is going to push this to get enough countries involved that it activates the laws in which the president can no longer stand down, and he'll ride this out for the next 20 years. There'll be a major catastrophic event that makes the world beg us to remove human error from decision-making, Abner, and usher in the AI overlords into the one government world, because no country's no war. If there's only one country, Abner, there's no one to fight, right?
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that in the bottom of the totem pole of the government is the poor people, the unintelligent, the people that you could tell them 20 million lies, mm-hmm, and just tell them, if I tell you a lie over and over and over, and I tell you, no, it's not red, it's blue. No, it's blue, it's blue, mm-hmm, it's blue. You're going to program in your mind that it's all right, he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
but you only have to get the majority, bro. Like, Like, you don't even have to convince everyone. It's like fishing. It's like the bigger the net, the bigger the chance. And the more BS they throw out, the more people that they, if they can just get 1% a day, you know, either not caring or changing their mind, they're winning the battle 100% right, every single day. And my biggest fear is we're going to get to a point where everyone's like, that Epstein files conspiracy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and they haven't came out yet. And this is the thing. For 10 years, they pushed it, saying it was the Democrats. Yeah, this, they're eating kids. They got crazy stuff, right? But they blamed everyone. But when the moment, it's almost like saying, yo, you know, you want to fight, and you're calling the person out. And when the moment or two comes, listen, I don't want no problems. I don't want, my bad. Mm-hmm. I got loud. I disrespected you. I don't want no problem. This is what they did. And now they're backtrailing, hiding everything like this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insanity. And it's almost like it needs to happen for them to realize, like, we have to hit rock bottom with everything and what's going on.
Yeah, they've learned that they have to make us ask for the things we don't want.
Absolutely.
Do you see what I mean? They can't force it on us, because, you know, then, you know, we'll all go crazy. So they got to ruin everything so that we're begging them for the things we don't want. And it's a scary concept. It really is, because these are the master overlords that have perfected this over centuries. And they're just in a realm now where information can travel so fast. And of course, we always see it as our greatest weapon, the internet, for uniting us all and all the rest. But it's been weaponized against us just as much as we use it. And it's going to be an interesting
year. It has conditioned us, social media, mm-hmm. and the internet, to the point that people cry when they lose their accounts. I left social media for like 3 years because I understood what was coming. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I came back and it's like, okay, let me, you know, but I've seen people being bought with money.
Oh, yeah.
From a platform, and then start crying because of that fame, that clout. It's mm-hmm. almost like an addiction.
Clout is
conditioning people.
Clout is the digital crack, bro. It is the digital crack. And I mean, I had a channel with 135,000 subscribers. I went after Spielberg, woke up the next day, gone. See you later, channel. Do you know what I mean? And it's a lot to deal with, bro, because that was how I paid the bills. You know what I mean? And what's interesting now, I was talking about this the other day, is I think the powers that be got terrified of 22-year-olds becoming millionaires in a matter of months. And they've seen how YouTube can generate astronomical amounts of money. So they've managed to control who gets the direction there, right? But TikTok, right? TikTok offers you viral fame with nothing in return, right? Mm-hmm. And it's much better for them to have everyone running around fueled on clout and begging for donations and all this kind of stuff, because it's not a sustainable content platform for making money.
Influencers. Right,
bro. It is, because here's the thing, like, even Instagram's the most highly paid platform for third-party payments, right? So that, like, if you've got, you know, 200K with like 150,000 interactions per post on Instagram, money, bro, money. You know what I'm saying? But TikTok, it's creating this whole viral fame to feed the narcissistic creator side that we all have, but it doesn't give you the financial security. So you
Now it's even worse with the new owner. I had 300,000 followers and I left. I left. Mm-hmm. They didn't ban me. I left TikTok.
Yeah.
And when I came back now I have roughly 15,000. And it's like they want you to pay to get followers. They want you to pay to advertise. And it's like this totally changed. And I have even wrote Epstein and put a picture. This picture in there, and they deleted the message.
Yeah.
And my friend, my homeboy tells me, yo, they deleted the message. I can't see it. What did you send me? They, everything's restricted.
Abner, I'm not joking, bro. See, before the war in Iran, right? All of the Epstein content I was doing was hitting about 3,500 live viewers. As soon as we've hit Iran, people are losing their X accounts. People are getting strikes on YouTube. Channels are being suppressed. And it was almost like, we'll play along while there's no other distraction from Google, X, and all these other platforms. But now that there is an official distraction, things are getting swept under the carpet, bro. They're tidying up. Yeah, they let us run around. They let us run around in the backyard, right, with all of our friends screaming about pizza and screaming about jerky and people on islands. And they've just slowly closed the door, right, while we're running around screaming out there. And sadly, little do we know, like, they're about to just turn on the landmines and start obliterating. And that to me, bro, what the heck? If they've released the pizza party, grape soda, jerky, coven, acid ordering files, what the hell are in the other 3 million, bro?
Absolutely. And this is the crazy part about it, right? Like, I had indictments, a case, and it was maybe a few pages. Mm-hmm. But I cannot imagine millions of files.
Millions, bro.
Like,
bro, just, if crazy. You were to go, if you go into your Google or your whatever email system you use for like the last 20 years of your life and see how many emails you've sent, guarantee you've nowhere near sent 3 million emails. Do you know what I'm saying? It's astronomical, bro. It's astronomical.
And it's the same thing as saying, if you're a hustler, right? If I'm a hustler and you're my friend and I have mentions, money, and for 15 years, you're going to tell me that they didn't know what I was doing.
Right. Well, it's not even that. It's not even the argument of the criminal pyramid. It's the crimes contained in this pyramid. Do you see what I mean? It's one thing if, like, Uncle Larry down the street from you is selling a bit of herb, right? Turn a blind eye to that crime. But if freaking Creepy Bill up on the other corner is, like, disappearing with 12-year-olds,
200 victims.
Right? There's criminals that won't stand for that criminal pyramid. You see what I'm saying? You know the laws of the street, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know, people see nothing in your report, nothing. You handle your own stuff. Absolutely. But kids and stuff like that, there ain't no rules that apply. You know what I'm saying?
No. So that's the bottom of the totem pole. Before, if you go to prison for telling or snitching or whatever, like, you might be overseen because you know the population, but for a crime like that, there's no way like you're like, no, man.
Yeah, like, it's and that's how it should be, but it's one of those, because we all get shocked. We would go and handle business. Criminals would handle business. The only people who aren't handling business are the people that should be handling this business, Abner. Right? There's been two arrests in the UK, the former Prince Andrew and Mandelson, and they've got them on the, basically, I can't remember the name of the charge, but it's like, if you're a policeman or a politician and you F around, you're going to find out. Like, if you abuse your power, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you coerce someone into, you know, sex, or you use your position to gain money, or, you know, manipulate someone, it comes with up to a life sentence, right? So it's a serious one, but it's also one of those charges where if you drag it out for a year, it could wind up being a slap on the wrist with a £500 fine and time served. Do you know what I'm saying? Plus, it keeps all of the nasty words out of the important men's charge sheets. Can't have men of power with, you know, SA and R word and all these crimes. Right. Gotta keep it insider trading, Abner. Do you know what I mean?
Right. No, it's almost like they want to normalize the crime. Like, it's cool. It's no big deal. You know, I got charged with a weapon and did 84 months, 7 years in the feds. And these guys get probation in no time. So,
bro.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there was a story of a hacker that hacked one of the American servers, and I think he got 14 years And then a guy who abused his own six-year-old daughter was put in for 6 years. So just to show you where America sort of sees how illegal things are, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I can't, there's no other way of saying this. There's no excuses left for America. No. In fact, there's no excuses left. We're only bullying America because they're the one holding the files, right?
Right, and so, this is the crazy part. This is the crazy part. He told five people, the Central Park Five, remember? These guys mm-hmm. are predators, and these guys were innocent. These guys are predators. Meanwhile, he was the predator. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I actually, we did a deep dive into the accusations, out-of-court settlements, and actual legal proceedings against Trump in the field of like him assaulting women and all of this. And, you know, it's not the best, Abner.
No.
Like, it's not the best, mate. There's there's some stuff like, oh, I was at an event and he put his arm around me and tried to kiss me on the cheek. Well, okay, like that's not the most horrific crime in the world. Do you see what I mean?
No.
But then it's lumped in with like, severe assault. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, astronomical. Uh-huh. And then they're hiding it. And the thing about it is, you can't even. It's almost like they're stealing money from the people, the Americans, and let's steal as much money as we can, and let's get out of here before the truth comes.
Well, you know what's funny? You say that, Abner, because Trump just set up the peace board, didn't he? He wanted 50 countries, $1 billion each they've all put in. And there's 30 countries have already signed up for it. Most of them, by the way, are surrounding China and Russia. I just want to point that out. So when you look at it on a map, all the countries that have signed up are all kind of, you sort of look at it and you go, well done. Well done, Trump. I see what you did there. I see we're going to get a board of peace that all pay you $1 billion that also happen to be neighbors to your enemies.
Yeah, it's all about money before the truth comes out. Because once the truth comes out, now his kids become generational wealth. And, you know, this is where accountability needs to come in. Because the truth is going to come out. You can't hide it forever. Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, all of them. Like, you can't.
Let's talk.
I go to the border every other month, right? I have a friend over there that got deported. Mm-hmm. And all this bull crap about the border safe. I have met someone that goes to the American side to border and crosses over like twice a day, like nothing. Like,
I'm not being funny, right? Like, Abner, I'm not being funny, right? When I think of a border, okay, like I think of at least there'll be a line, okay? Like a line that says, here's the border, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Let alone maybe a chicken wire fence, bro. Anything. Some of those World War II anti-tank things that stick at anything, bro. Like, I'm not being funny, but I'm very much for, right? If you're not going to sneak over illegally, I'm just going to put a wall up, okay? Because if you're not going to sneak over anyway, the wall's not going to bother you. Do you see what I'm saying?
There's tunnels, there's rivers. The fences are this wide. Woo! I can stick my head into the fence.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, we're talking like this guy can infiltrate another country with super weapons and drones, but they're still scratching their head. How? Right. So the country's connected to Mexico, and a lot of people from Mexico are getting here. How do we figure this out?
But this is the thing. There is no figuring out. It's another way of them stealing money. How come ICE is the biggest? These guys have more money than the military. They get paid $50,000 to sign in bonus, but the NYPD gets paid hardly nothing. Like, it's all propaganda to steal money. All these immigration camps, $2 billion. You don't even have 500 people there.
Bro,
come on.
You know, I'll be honest with you as well. Like, the I'm in my country right now, Abner. We've got a silent invasion of a certain demographic of religious individual that is systematically deconstructing our way of life here. And for me, when I think of the immigration issues that America has, it's very similar to what we have. And you've got an influx of African illegal migrants and migrants as well that are doing what we call benefit fraud over here, where they come over and they use your humanitarian systems to just take and take and take and take, right? And when I think of, like, there's a lot of people in America that come illegally and do nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my father was an illegal immigrant. We went over to Florida when I was born, right? And I spent 2 years there. And my dad just went, I'm probably just going to stay, I think, right? But that was when, you know, you could fly to America, be an illegal immigrant, work your ass off, right? And he was there busting his ass in Italian restaurants and built himself up to buying restaurants and all the rest of it. But he worked his ass, right? That is the traditional American illegal immigration story, right, that I grew up with, right? Some dude's dad or some dude's uncle or some guy in Mexico or some guy from Canada, and then they built their life and da-da-da. But it was all based around a dream and work and building something. Do you see what I mean? And yeah, now it's about money.
This is the thing. They're not deporting. See, criminals that are in this country illegally, they're not going to immigration appointments.
Yeah, and signing up, bro. I get it. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You see, our ones are arriving on boats, signing a whole bunch of paperwork, letting them know we're here. We're handing them money and a house and a mobile phone, but yet we've got war veterans with missing feet living underneath bridges with nothing. You see what I'm saying?
You know what's crazy? I was living in Austin and my neighbor was Ukrainian, right? And their rent was like $4,000 a month. They had a big house, right? And I'm like, well, probably lesser, but they used to get $4,000 a month from the government. And I'm like, $4,000 grand and I'm American and I can't even get a dollar from you? Like, it's crazy. Well,
there's two ways of looking at it, right? If you've got a percentage of your country's capabilities to do that for other countries' individuals who need it, that's fantastic. But your tax-paying citizens have to come first.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? And you should shift with the times and the trends and the wants of your population. You shouldn't fear change and have to mass import individuals to secure whatever political movement you're backing.
Working individuals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is it. And I love my country. I love the culture. I love all the different people. I remember being in primary school and learning about Eid and Ramadan and all these, like, all the different culture stuff. But it was like everyone fitted into the culture that they've moved to, right? This is how we do things. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's how it should be, right? It should be integration, not assimilation. And, you know, that's what I see happening. Right? Look, let's just circle.
And the laws, and they don't change the laws. They don't change the laws. Like, you know, charge people for coming here. Give them a probation period. Like, do something. They don't do anything. Like, but it's a fraud. It's a fraud. I don't believe it's another way of stealing money from the government.
Bro, it's no country accidentally allows millions of people to pour into it, bro. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the most stupid thought process ever. So this is all by design, and we just need to see what's coming, man. We just need to see what's coming.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Let me ask you something. Do you want to make fun of Pam Bondi for a little while? That was a sigh, bro. That was like, I expected you to be like, hell yeah. And you're like, well, actually, let me tear this woman down a couple of pegs.
If I could tell you, like, the most top three evil people in the world, she would be on the top three. Like, There's no way you're a woman of God and you allow, and you've seen the photos, the videos, everything in there in them files, and just straight up lie. Like, if that was...
It's actually quite impressive, Abner. It's actually quite impressive watching this woman sit in a deposition, be asked who asked her to remove Donald Trump's name from the Epstein files. And I actually, it's the first, you ever watched, I've never seen a human being's brain short circuit live in front of me, right? It was like, you know, in like a movie where like a robot gets water on it and it starts going.
Yeah, glitching.
Like, girl glitched, she glitched out. Her brain was like, I don't know how to and I've never seen people act the way that her and Kash Patel have acted. Do you know where I have seen people act like that? Do you know when you like take your kids to primary school, right? And if one of the kids has been really naughty, they're the one that's usually shouting about how they've not been really naughty.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. This is the thing when you go into this government and you apply for it, they put the fear of God in you. And they tell you straight up, you see what happened to Epstein. You need to keep your mouth shut and you need to go with the program or this is what's going to happen. And try us.
Bro, they
talk with fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly think the final part of the job application is they send you into a room and there's just a person with a duffel bag on their head and a pistol on the table and they're just like, deal with it, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
like you can't genuinely, make it up. Bro. It's like a mob mentality.
Yeah, but it's mental, Abner. Like, yeah. I watched this woman, right? The guys had like 2 meter by 1 meter printouts of all the files. Like, they were making damn well sure she knew what they were talking about, right?
Oh, and absolutely.
Like, FBI have created a list of potential suspects in Epstein's trafficking ring. And it's all these names. And she redacted them all.
And it's not only that. She had them on her desk.
Had on her desk?
Turned around. No, they didn't exist. Well, I have them. Well, they're coming out. Yeah, they're coming out, like, next week.
Also, don't tell me they're on your desk when they're clearly on a flash drive. Like, you saying they're on your desk, it sounds like you're doing something about it, Pam. 3 million files on your desk, okay? That's the whole office floor, love, okay?
Yeah.
I done the maths. We done the maths. If you printed out the Epstein files, it's exactly two, you know, the big, like, delivery lorries.
Yeah,
it's 2 1/4 of those full of pallets of reams of paper. That is about 3 million sheets.
Yeah, and it's the law for them to come out with them, and they just keep bleeding out the senseless. And the truth is going to come out at the end. But by that time, they'll be done with democracy here. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but don't worry, they've released a new freaking iPhone. So people won't care, bro, because like they'll have a new iPhone. There'll be like a light that spins around the side of it while we hand over.
Yeah, distraction. You know, all of... Look over there. No, look over here. Yep. Look over there. Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah, it's the classic look at the shiny. You know what I'm saying, bro? We're laughing about it, Abner. This is happening globally, right?
But like, it's insanity.
Abner, we're gonna be the granddads sitting with our grandkids going, well, Jimmy, I remember watching civilization fall apart and we were just laughing about it and then it happened. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, it's insanity. It's insanity. Like you would think, you know, Edgar Hoover or anyone else, like you know, like what are we doing here? We have a felon, SA, convicted, verbally admits it.
Yep.
Evidence, and you have the evidence that you won't come out with it, and you want us Christians, because there's two types of Christians now in the United States. There are two types of Christians. They're the Christians that, hey, you know, Jesus loves everyone. You know, and then there's the Christians that say, you know what? Jesus ain't going for that. Like, that's crazy. Like, you want me to accept that? No, That's not how it goes.
I honestly talk to Christians all the time about Jesus, and I think if Jesus was to come back today, he would be really, really pissed off with the modern interpretation of the church. I think he would be disgusted at chosen places of worship in his name. I don't think that was his vibe. I think Jesus was more about love me by loving yourself, love me by loving your fellow man. That's what I got.
And I'm in Texas. Yeah. You don't see no flags no more. You don't see no bumper stickers, nothing. They're quiet because it's embarrassing.
Listen, if they've got Texas, we're all screwed. If Texas has fallen into line, we're screwed. I didn't realize Texas was calming down. Come on, Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to, activate Texas, the Deep South. We need to activate
Texas
the Deep
right
South.
Now is turning blue. People are tired of it, bro. And these are people that are diehard red. They're
if Texas turns blue, we're all cooked. Like I'm done. I'm moving somewhere. Like where's not being discovered yet, Abner? Like let's find one of those little obtuse islands that's like in the middle of freaking nowhere. We'll get a big box of MREs and a box set of DVDs, and we'll just sit there and go, nope, not us, not today, not today.
And it's broken down. They broke us using the parties, right? And they separated us, but it's now broken down to rich and poor, right? And it's crazy how you go to the gas station and you have a mid job and you're like, nah, you know, I'm good. I don't mind paying $4 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Texas. It was $2 a week ago. And it's like, so I'm paying $25 for a quarter tank of gas, which is insanity. And imagine having a diesel truck and you approve
Imagine being any form of business that isn't a massive corporation that will start slowly going out of business. But don't worry. Do you remember those massive corporations I talk about? They'll be there to take over your business. Your customers will be satisfied with a higher paid, lower class service once you're gone. That's what's happening.
Absolutely.
And it's the long game, bro. It's the long game. Evil banking overlords play the long game.
Yeah.
There's things that there's little dominoes that have been pushed today. That domino run won't end till 75 years from now.
Yeah, you know? and it's not good. The thing about it is that even with this war, right, you don't go in there, right? You're an SA abuser of children and go in there and unalive more than 100 children and think that country is just going to say, you know what, it's cool. We're going to squash it. Absolutely not. You just picked the worst country thinking these guys are like Venezuela. No, these guys are biblical. They're in the Bible.
Oh yeah. They're not messing around, Abner. I like to say they take their stuff pretty seriously. You know what I'm saying? And they do.
From birth.
Oh yeah. From birth, with or without your choice.
So you took the old man out and you put the son that's 56 years old that says, I've been waiting 56 years to go to war with the United States.
From a jihad, bro. You know what I'm saying? Again, though, when you think about the demographic of people I'm talking about that's invaded my country, what happens if the call to war is put out? And there is a global rise up in stabbings and street level assaults and arson attacks and people using cars as weapons and all of this in the name of what's happening now.
Well, I'm a felon. So I don't need bone spurs. You know, I'm a felon. I can't go to war. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Not today.
That's the law. Hey, but you can be president, but I can't go to war. I'm a felon.
Well, look. I want to talk about mandatory sentencing, right? Because Epstein was convicted of underage SA and, of course, I do believe prostitution and things like this with the underage individual. And
with Pam Bondi.
Well, here's the thing, right? That's got a mandatory sentence. Like, that comes with, there's mandatory sentences, right? And the Department of Justice forced that, you know, the sweetheart deal onto the courts that were prosecuting Epstein. And the only person that can tell the DOJ to do anything is the president. So who was telling the president to do something and why? Right. And just in your opinion, have you ever known someone to, or heard of, not obviously known someone, but heard of someone essaying a child and them not being hit with a mandatory sentence or a gun crime? Give us an example of someone that you've known that's been hit with a mandatory sentence and how they work.
Me, I got 84 months for a weapon. Didn't use it in a crime or anything, just prior to being a convicted felon. My mandatory sentence, my minimum was 84 months, 7 years. Didn't Jesus. Hurt nobody, didn't rob a bank with it. It was federal. That was my plea to you. So it's like, okay, 84 months. And as soon as I go back to the booking, it's like 84 months. And I do the math, 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, and I've seen people, and it's money. Like there's this system is constructive of who knows who. So if somebody runs over somebody in a DUI and kills four people, they're getting probation, right? Or hurt children, they're getting probation if they have money or power. And it's like this system is not, it's two heads in it. It's not one. And for the mandatory minimum to be taken off the table and you just go home and a matter of fact, you go to jail for 9 months, but you get to go home at night. Or you sleep here and you go, like, I don't understand that sentence. It was Pam Bondi had to do with that. You know, and you sent Epstein home 200 victims now. And it's like, wow, I steal a bag of chips with my record. I'm going to the county. Bail, process, everything for a bag of chips at the 7-Eleven, which is crazy. Yeah.
And they ain't going to miss a dime on that, you know, because of all the cameras.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this system is designed, man, for the rich, not for the poor, man.
Oh yeah,
it's for the rich. Like it's crazy. It very much is. Like I've been in prisons where it's all Hispanic, brown, and black folks, and I'm like, man, there's not one Caucasian person in here. Like this is crazy. Like not one. And it's like, why is it that crime, right, of children that Congress can't get together to say, you know what, it's wrong. But now it's wrong, right? But you're not passing the law, you know, and Biden was just in place. So why didn't you pass the law for these crimes?
Well, and I'm pretty sure Biden had the files as well, right? I mean,
all of them, whether red and blue, and they have never done anything to change the laws, nothing. And now this just proves that it's all about power. You know what I mean? It's all about power.
It's definitely about power. And just briefly, I don't want to touch too much on this. I don't know how well-versed you are in it, but there was a lot of references to occult scenarios and rumors. And there was one of the emails that talked about making jerky with the coven. And on the island was a sundial with 13 seats, 13 members in a coven, 13 founding families, 13 bloodlines. Like, it all gets a bit, like, super creepy, super fast. Right. And like a lot of the people have a line for this. Like, you can believe all the horrible stuff that are in the cannibals, all this kind of stuff. But then when you add another level of reason to why they do it, I think it's hard for people to grasp what their reasoning is. And it doesn't excuse anything. I just want to point that out. It's just from an analytical point of view. And I mean, I'm deeply in the belief of the occult within all of this. like whether it is they're using the occult as a show and dance to suck people in to do horrific things to then blackmail them with, or if for them it is as real as it is for all of us. I mean, I'm sure if you've got a faith, you're pretty serious about it, right?
Yeah.
It's just their faith is pretty effed up.
Yeah, no, it's I 100% believe it. And I can tell you this much. It's like, you imagine you having all the money in the world, right? Billions or whatever. And you don't have to worry about your light bill, gas bill, a driver, nothing, right? And your life becomes, and I truly do believe in Illuminati, 100%. And I have my share of being in reality TV, and I did background acting. I was on the show Power, you know, Law and Order, and I was next to, and someone approached me in an incident to go to a party, right? And I just found it awkward when one of the persons that was with that person told me, "Don't go, don't go," and I just found it awkward. But then, now that I realize after this happening with you know Diddy and all this and all,
yeah, you might have been offered some big, you might have been offered some big parts for some big parts, if you know what I'm saying, Abner.
Yeah, and it's almost like you, it's gratification. They don't. They're numb, like, and it's almost like it's not boredom. It's like clout, like the influencer on social media. Their drive is clout. That's their gratification, and those rich people doing that—that's their gratification. And I totally do believe it.
So
totally,
forgive my crude sort of terminology. So you kind of believe that it's like the elite equivalent of like donkey shows, right? But it's that sordid level of look what we can get away with, right? That mindset. I agree with you. I think there will be a massive percentage of them that it's not even a traditional PDF file, okay? It's animals, it's the elderly, it's children, whatever, and it's about destruction of innocence. It's about control, domination, draining the life from someone, feeling bones cracking, all of this twisted madness, brother. You know, because in my research, I've seen different demographics of PDF file arguing on the dark web about which one of them is the better PDF file. Do you see what I mean?
Because of the difference
in their mindsets. You know?
I'll give you an incident that happened to me, and this was in Otisville prison. And I'm in there, and they bring a PDF in, and, you know, the guard, he hands me and tells me, hey, you know, 9 years old, did this and that. Told me everything, right? So he goes in the bubble, and boom, 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 I put it on him, and he's yelling, you know, and they take him out. And it's like, where in a person's mind is this accepted? You know what I mean? Like, and I believe they think they could get away with it. And it's time to pay the piper. It's time to pay the piper.
Hell yeah. I just suddenly realized I'm going to get Shane to ping you an email after this. I think we definitely need to set up like a prison stories with Abner night. Because I'm sure you've got some absolute incredible tales from what went on, and you know, I bet you have, brother. And you know, it's one thing for them to think they can get away with it, but to walk into a prison and be like 9-year-old girl, I mean, you've got
to be
mental, mate.
No, or a think about or you're a death that person, and you're running the country. You think you're gonna run the yard?
That's it. And it's interesting because around about the same time Diddy went down, there was like a white guy from a big department store company. Somebody in the side chat will tell me. It's one of the famous American clothes shop and department stores. He was done for abusing male models, right?
Yeah.
And Diddy went to jail. Diddy went viral with his, Abercrombie and Fitch guy. That's his name. It's not his name, but that's the story. Abercrombie
right,
and Fitch.
Right, yeah. Right?
What the hell happened to the Abercrombie and Fitch guy? Old white dude. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Victoria's Secret guy. Seeing a pattern here.
Bro. The Victoria's Secret guy, too.
He got a secret. A lot of secrets.
Oh, hell yeah, he does.
Which is sickening. Even the name.
Now, it's just realized. I've just realized. Victoria's Secret.
It's crazy. And you know what somebody once told me about it? That they were talking about Queen Victoria. The royalty secret, which is crazy because the royalty guy is in jail, and this guy's not in jail, which is even his brother, Andrew.
Look, they all need dragged in, right? Given a good dose of modern day truth serum, okay, and just put on a live stream where everyone in the country gets to ask one question. Okay?
Right.
Everyone gets to just keep them pumped full of caffeine and truth serum and like beetle protein paste, and they'll be fine. Okay? Oh, put them in a big diaper, and they can all just answer some questions, Abner. That's what I think, bro. I think if there's nothing to hide, then we all get to just ask a question or two, because enough's enough, man. Enough's enough. It is.
And it's like this. You're leading the world into chaos. Mm-hmm. But when you have all this money, the money's not going to mean anything. Worth anything. Nothing. Because people are not going to care anymore. And the currency now is the propaganda. Feed the propaganda.
Well, keep it right as well. The weaponization of digital everything, right, is incredible, because almost at the push of a metaphorically at the push of a button, we can all be inside staring at something. We can all be inside watching something or playing something, or we're anything but being together, right? Anything but being a community anymore, right? And 5-6 generations from now, the norm's going to be so. Isolation is going to be the comfort of the future, man. And it's scary, And some people, I'll think they'll argue that we got to this point because we were all sick of society, or we were sick of the left, or we were sick of the right, or we were sick of the homophobic, or we were sick of the gays, or we were sick of the racist, or we were sick of the blacks, or whatever.
They use everybody's hate against each other, whatever your hate was.
Exactly. And as long as they keep division dividing, conquering is easy, bro. It's so easy.
And that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
And it's got to the point now where it's seeped into the traditional family unit, And it's a wild one. It really, really is, Abner. And
it needs to get worse before it gets better.
Do you know what I think we need? I think we actually need a massive meteor to just smash into Earth. No warning, bro.
All over.
No warning. No chance for no bunker getting into the bunker time, right? And it just so happens to land where they're in Bilderberg, right? Like they're all in their big Bilderberg meeting, and the thing just comes down and flattens us all and takes out all of the electricity. And we just have to sort of chill out for a bit. Do you know what I mean? Once all of the horrific tribal, like, looting and raiding phase is over, right? Once humanity calms down a bit, because this is not right.
It's all biblical. And now it's all again. You know what I mean? And that's what we need, another drought. Drown everybody. Because you can't live underwater. You're drowning.
Right.
There's no way. You could have a $80 billion bunker like Homeboy from Facebook, and doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare
yourselves, people. Something's coming, whether it's going to be the global war, the aliens landing, freaking who knows? There's something in the water.
Another virus. Times three.
Awesome. You know, they fool us once. But we just need to wait and see. But listen, Abner, I need to ask you some questions. I need to nerd out for 10 minutes with you before we...
Yes, sure.
60 days in, bro. Like, mental. So you had some pretty intense moments, right? I've got a little ditty here, right? I might not play all the sound of it, right? But also my YouTube premium ran out, so we have to sit through this advert. So I'll sit here and mock Ron for being broadcast mofo. But here you are. That's you right there. That's you. Okay. Yeah. So first of all, what the hell were you thinking? Right? What the hell were you thinking? What the hell was anyone who signs up to this show thinking? Like, take us through the premise of the show. Just like break it down for a couple of minutes for the people who might not know the show.
Well, they found me. I didn't find them, right?
And, okay.
I was living my life. I had 10 followers on an old page on Facebook. And Greg Henry, the owner of A&E, found me. And I thought it was a joke. You know, he's like, hey, sign these, MDAs. And, you know, and I said, okay, you know, go to jail for 60 days for close to 40 grand. Blessing in disguise, you know, has blessed me abundantly. But I was already, I haven't even caught a ticket in 15 years. Like,
right.
My life, you know, so it was insane me being in there and like, this is real jail. I thought this was like a joke. I thought it was like stage or fake. Uh-huh. I'm like, there's no way. This is real jail. I thought it was, you know.
Because you shifted, bro. You shifted.
When you're in there, you know.
Oh, yeah. You went from... holy shit, this is real to badass mother fudger real fast. Yeah. Real fast, bro. Like, you could tell, you knew that it's like the metaphor of like punching the biggest bully in school, right? So that everyone knows not to fucking mess around with you. That's the mindset. And you could see that, bro. And what everyone's watching.
Yeah, my bunk was right there.
This one
at the bottom.
This dude here had a couple of sodas stolen off of him by a guy called Robert, right? And here's Robert here.
Pirates. Yeah. Yeah.
What we like to call this is the position of terror that we like to call here. Under your blanket, right? Arms covered. This is fear. The blanket won't protect you, bro. The blanket's not going to protect you. Here's Abner. Everyone's asking, basically, where's the sodas, da-da-da-da-da, right? And it was quite a pinnacle moment in the series, if I'm being honest. Because you look at these shots, man. These shots are brilliant, bro. And what was the whole, like, when you got out, and did you sit and watch the series? Were you like, what did they include? What didn't they include? And was jail just really boring and these were like the best bits? Or was there more craziness that went on that you feel like?
Yeah, there was more craziness that they couldn't air because of lawsuits or whatever.
Okay.
There was an incident with me in there in a fight, but the guy, they had to take out his face, blur it, and scratch all that footage, which would have been 10 times more. And this guy, you know, it's funny because Tyrus, when he stole the soda, he actually crouched down and stole the soda and went back, and we found the sodas in the garbage, right? The cans.
Yeah.
But it's like a klepto, you know? He was in there for stealing steaks. And it's everybody has a story in there, but when you're in there, it's amazing how your mind clicks back to prison mentality. You know?
Oh yeah, I mean this is you dishing it out. I'm gonna just play this a little bit here because you know you give him a couple of chances. You know, you give him a couple of chances to let everyone know that it's him.
If you steal from me, my man, I don't care anybody in here. I'm doing dirt.
I mean, dude, that is a look, bro. Like,
the crazy part is they never stole from me. They never stole from me. I used to leave my commissary. I used to have my people send me money. So my commissary was banked, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. The day I got rolled out, my bag was taken to intake. They didn't steal anything. I had like $100 worth of commissary. That goes to show you the respect and fear they had. So when this guy did that, it's like, yo, you What are you doing? You stealing from this guy. That's cool. He has a store. He'll let you have something and give it back. I didn't have a store. I was just like, yo, this is my stuff. Like, I'm eating good. Like, yeah. Nobody tried me.
Yeah. And you could tell why, Abner, when you watch the series. It's pretty badass. But this is the look, by the way, that I've given every single one of my eldest daughter's boyfriends when they've came in to meet me, right? Apart from the current one is, he's the current boyfriend, he's a winner. You've done well there, Kirsten. But all the other ones got this look, the try me. Try me, bro. In fact, I want you to try me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was bored at that moment. I was like, man, let's do something, man.
Well, here you go, man. Here you go.
Okay, and I want to jaw you and drop you. I don't give a what any of them say. I'm a man. If you steal from me, I'm going to beat the living Indian out of you.
You fucking went in hard, bro. And I mean, that's
the
thing.
He broke down.
Yeah, man.
He admitted it.
Yeah, and it was a wild series. Now, you know, you said that there was things he didn't air and things like that. Now, coming out, have you stuck with watching the other seasons and things like this of 60 Days In, or is it something where it's just like, well, I watch my own season, but really, I'm okay. I've done prison. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, at this point now, a lot of people are trying to be like movie stars. Like, they just putting on a character, you know. And I went in there and I took my brother's advice that's in the military. And he's like, you know what? Just be yourself. He's like, there's two people in this world. The people that get on the train and people that hop off the train. He's like, get on that train and just be real, you know. And I just was just real, genuinely real. Like, if I'd done time there, that's exactly where I'm going to do time in another county and just be real. Except it was my loyalty was for the purpose to show people jail or prison, you know. And it helped a lot of people that got the message. But you have people that sit here and, like, they glorify prison. Listen, my man, you could go to prison, take a shower with 10 guys. You're more than welcome, you know. Use the toilet next to your bunkie for years. You're more than welcome. It's cool, you know. Squeeze the baby powder in the air, you know, turn on the incense, all that, you know.
Bro, I've seen, like, I will say this, right? The one thing that's impressive about one particular culture of prison is the things that you guys create food with, right? Like a prison pizza. What? Like, I can see the theory behind it. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's wild. There's a guy that's got a whole channel dedicated to
I've seen it.
Prison lighters and all this kind of stuff, right? So what's the most ingenious thing, right, that you learned in the clank, right? What was the most, like, crazy prison bit of technology or thing that was that you seen or did in prison that you kind of sticks in your mind?
In prison sometimes you can't get a light, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes some people mess with the lights or whatever. This one guy had hardwired when he was, you know, cleaning up in the tunnels that they call it. He threw a line and had two sparks, and he would charge people to turn on a light. And in this prison, it was like, and I was like, this guy, how did this guy, is either he's an electrician, an engineer, or what? And he would charge people stamps, soups. Hey, I need a light. Even if you get the tobacco in, you're going to need a light. And you can't bring a light through anything, you know, or cook, you know, because there was no microwave there. So this guy would make buku money, which is a spark. And the way he had it hitting in the cell, they used to search his cell and people used to snitch on him. I'm like, how did this guy come up with this? Like, you have to, like,
it's crazy, right? It is crazy. Like, some of the ingenious stuff that comes from the collective billions of hours of solitude and sitting staring at a wall. The stuff, a friend of mine, he does profiling work with major serial killers, and he's been sent a bunch of gifts from them. And like one of them made a functioning violin out of popsicle sticks. And like a functioning, what's the tiny guitar called? You know, the ding 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 ding.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's crazy. Guitar, they made
four strings. Bonker out of popsicle sticks, bro.
Yeah.
Like if I give you a hot glue gun, right? And some popsicle sticks, how long before you and I can put on a concert with two little guitars? How long, Abner?
No, their creativity is on another level. Like I've seen guys make colors out of nothing, out of food. Like it's crazy. Take wrappers, make frames. It goes on and on and on. But if you would take that time being free and apply it, you'll be a millionaire.
Yeah.
You'll be a millionaire. You know, their creativity is on another level. And I had a guy one time, he used to cook for me. But the way he used to put flavors together, and I used to cook myself, you know, but this guy was like a chef on another level. And he would sell his little bowls, you know, and it's like street food, like home food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting it together, you know. But
it's crazy, bro.
I would say, I'll give you a quick story of a guy that one time I was going on transfer.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time I used to smoke cigarettes. I haven't smoked cigarettes over 10 years. But at the time I used to smoke cigarettes and I was in the box getting transferred, this guy pulls out of his suitcase matches, tobacco, and papers. Like, hey, you want to smoke again? And I'm like, cigarette smoking. Like, I don't even want to think where the cigarette came from.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, the freaking, the prison pocket, it doesn't bear thinking about, brother.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, you know, I'm going to be here a month waiting on transfer. Like, there's no commissary, no nothing.
Yeah. But listen, if you have to smoke a little butt tobacco to freaking pass the time, bro, we're all going to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to pass that time, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, you would think there's some geniuses in there. Some people that deserve second chances. And it's like, man, you know, now you wouldn't catch me making a prison pizza. Like, I'm an advocate for tied a pizza truck. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing it, man. I can't. I'm too used to freedom now.
Hell yeah. No more 60 days in the reunion. We don't need it.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Did you see when freaking Muhammad Ali's daughter went in?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, on my first time around, she used to follow me, and I didn't understand that part.
I didn't understand that part too, bro.
Like you know,
random.
I can think of the inmates coming in, the ex-inmates, you know, ex-convicts, ex-felons, and it's like, yeah, you know, I understood. I was the first ex-felon that they had on the show, so it was like, you know, I got a pat in the back, you know, and thank God that money was multiplied. And a thank you. And it's like, yo, you saved this other seasons because I was going broke. This is the owner of A&E. But for someone that has money to go on the show, for what?
Bro, all I'm saying is there's 101 other reality TV shows that Muhammad Ali's daughter would have been really cool in a reality TV show. Maybe one about her being Muhammad Ali's daughter.
The GOAT.
Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like something, like a three-part miniseries. I'm sure we would have all watched a three-part miniseries about freaking Muhammad Ali as told by his daughter inside all of his family. Like, of course
like
we would have.
Robert, the teacher, A lot of people like calling me the tap out after 55 days, but there was some in there that spent 3 days that talked tough. And I'm yo, bro, I actually.
Like 50, bro, I'm not being funny. You done 55 days, but you done 55 days of running the pod. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you were like, it wasn't like 55 days of chilling and then you thought, see these last 5 days, bro. I can't have
people.
It.
Testing people's patience.
Yeah, you were coming out with holes, bro. You would have been coming out with freaking holes, okay? And like, some stitches and shizness, bro. Like, yeah. It was crazy. And listen, I've had a freaking great night talking to you, Abner. It's been absolutely fantastic. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us about any books you have. Tell us about your any sites. Links are in the description, of course. But tell us what you've got coming next.
Right now, I'm just, you know, working on my property at home, waiting for the interest rates. I'm investing. I live a different world now, a different life. And I wrote a book a while back. I just got back on social media. And now I'm in the process here in Texas of, I just got plugged in with the prison ministries, and I'm going to be doing that. And I'm actually going to try to get a green light to use that as footage and content for the real world. So I'm hoping and praying that they open the doors and they know who I am, and just start doing that. Cause a lot of the inmates in the system appreciate it. They're like, you don't have, you know, it's not what these trolls and stuff, you know. Generally, when you meet me at the mall or somewhere or at church or anywhere, it's like, oh wow, yo, you're that guy. Yo, straight Cholo. Oh man, the enforcer. It's like, and
bring the man a soda. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh man, yeah, man. It's a different world now. And I think I'm gonna push more. And I appreciate you for having me on.
I appreciate
to advocate more for the person that has a second chance in life, you know. And
you're definitely somebody that we want to have back. And I think next time we'll remove Epstein from the title and we'll see.
Yeah,
We'll see how YouTube frames that, because I think, you know, hearing about some of your prison stories and then hearing about you now and showing the contrast and the journey, I think that would be a great idea, brother. And I would love to say
I'm one person too that I believe it's sad what happened to him, and I'm not the one that could judge him. And I could honestly say he should have had his day in court. Period. Yeah. Period. Yeah. You know?
100%. Or at least like being dragged through the streets so we could all throw vegetables at him or something.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like at least a satisfying ending, not just look.
It was the easy way out. It was.
And saying that, right? I mean, I don't know if it was the easy way. I mean, look, I mean, he didn't have a lot of space to work with here, Abner. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, honestly, the more I look at that, the more I'm just like, this is...
Yeah, nice. I used to do backwards dips off the ladder there.
Yeah. Bro, it's like, their prison cells, not known for their space or ability to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Well, look, Abner, we'll get all this set up, brother. And thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you. Really appreciate you. And, man, you already know, man, you're doing work out there.
Hell yeah. Well, listen, everybody, I'm going to be live over on my channel in about 20 minutes, I think. I'll post you guys a link. It's the first of our new series on a Friday. Abner, thank you for being here. Make sure you guys like and subscribe.
Follow me on TikTok, Abner 60 Days In, TikTok and YouTube. I'm trying to get that up.
Hell yeah. We'll make sure your links are in there, brother. And next time we'll talk a little bit about what you're doing now and your content path next time you're here, brother. I'd really appreciate
it. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Bless all right, you, ladies and gentlemen. For me, Ron Swanson, as always, take care, guys. And for me, as always,
have a good one. You're a real one, Ron.
Thanks, Abner. I appreciate it, brother.
All right.